Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all, to those here in the sanctuary, including those who are visitors and members and friends of the baptismal family. And welcome also to those who are joining us online via the live stream. You are all very welcome. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 416, to the tune Truro, Christ is alive, let Christians sing. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that you are alive and that the cross stands empty to the sky. For the good news of Easter and the triumph of life over death, we join with your people the world over and we surround you with our praise. Gracious God, you are the source of all life. And in Jesus, risen from the dead, you have renewed the life of your people forever. Therefore, we gather with joy before your throne, and we worship you, the God of our salvation. Lord Jesus, in your life, you identified with us. We come before you this new morning with our faith, and our doubts, with our achievements and our failures, with our past and our future, all of which are known to you, the one who is familiar with all our ways. Merciful God, in your presence, we confess that we have not fully embraced the good news of Easter. We are easily disheartened and confronted by so much that is wrong in the world, our hope can readily give way to despair. Instead of living lives that proclaim Christ is alive, we can sometimes give the impression that he remained in the tomb. And far from giving our all in your service, we can be hesitant and lukewarm in our discipleship. Gracious God, forgive us our sins and breathe afresh your Holy Spirit upon us, that despite all that could cause us to lose heart, our hope will be rekindled, and that facing up to the challenges that confront us as individuals and as a church, our trust in you will be strengthened and not found wanting. Lord Jesus, risen and victorious, you appeared to your first followers on Easter evening and imparted to them your peace. Stand before each one of us this day in your risen power and fill us anew with that peace which is your personal gift and which passes all understanding. These things we humbly ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just a few intimations to draw to your attention. There are floral displays celebrating Easter in Dollar Parish Church this weekend, and Tony, our organist, will be playing a selection of music there this afternoon from around 3 to 4:30. So if you're in the area or are wondering what to do this afternoon, you would be very welcome there in Dollar Parish Church. The publicity team will be meeting at the church this Thursday at 7:00. We would welcome volunteers to help with the sound desk, with the live streaming of the service, and we're also planning to have a joint church newsletter. So if you're interested or think you could help in any way, please do come along this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. There'll be a brief meeting of the Kirk session following the service a fortnight today. This is in connection with the appointment of a presbytery elder. And finally, I'm relieved to be able to resume in full my pastoral ministry as we now thankfully emerge from the pandemic. I've greatly missed being able to visit people at home. I've only been able to visit some, but I have myself, after a period of thought and prayer, resolved that now is the time to begin again. And I rejoice in my pastoral work, and I look forward to being able to visit people again in their own home. It's a great privilege to be able to do that and to share with people. So I look forward to doing that from this week on. And now we'll hear the Word of God.
The lesson this morning is from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, to be found on page 99 of the Pew Bible. St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, to be found on page 99 of the Pew Bible. Listen to the Word of God. Late that same day, the first day of the week, when the disciples were together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he showed them his hands and his side. When seeing the Lord, the disciples were overjoyed. Jesus said again, Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Then he breathed in them, saying, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you pronounce them unforgiven, unforgiven they remain. One of the 12, Thomas the twin, was not with the rest when Jesus came. So the others kept telling him, We have seen the Lord. But he said, Unless I see the mark of the nails on his hands, unless I put my finger into the place where the nails were, and my hand into his side, I will never believe it. A week later, his disciples were once again in the room, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, saying, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here, look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Be unbelieving no longer, but believe. Thomas said, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, you have found faith. Happy are they who find faith without seeing me. There were indeed many other signs that Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Those written here have been recorded in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this faith you may have life by his name. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word, and to him be the glory and the praise.
We come now to the baptismal hymn. It is hymn 636, hymn 636, to the tune Benesen, baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit.
Hello.
Welcome, Jude. Are you in good form today? You were in good form yesterday when I saw you, weren't you? Showing me all your toys. Hey? A great boy, and your big brother Evan's over there too. It's lovely to see you and all the family here on this very special day for you. Jesus said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, Christ is present with us in this sacrament. It is He Himself who baptizes us, and by the Spirit of Pentecost, He brings us into His church. Baptism is the sign of dying to sin and rising to new life in Christ. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as His own. He washes us from sin and sets us free from the power of sin and death. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we cannot understand it or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a little child. In baptism today, Jude is assured of the love that God has for him, and the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit will be placed upon him. Chris and Emma, in presenting your child for baptism, desiring that he may be grafted into Christ as a member of his body, the church, do you receive and accept the teaching of the Christian faith? Let us pray. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and this water, that Jude, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life. And being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may he remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, the big moment. Will Daddy bring Jude out? Will that be all right? There we are. Up you come. Now, will you come into my arms? Would that be all right? Hey? You came yesterday when we had a wee practice. Isn't that right? Hey? And I took extra porridge today so that I could carry you. Hey? Or are you wanting to wait in Daddy's arms? Will you come? There we are. Oh, isn't he a great boy, everyone? Hey? He's big and he's heavy. But what a smile. And you get a wave to everyone. Hey? You were waving yesterday, weren't you? Hey? There we are. Now I'm just going to put some water on your head and we'll baptize you. Would that be okay? Hey? There we are. Jude, Alan, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and dwell in your heart forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. There we are. Will we go a wee walk, will we? Do you know these people over there? Eh? Oh, you're great. There's your big brother. Hey, there he is. Isn't he doing well? I remember you did well too when I baptized you. Hey? He's really good, isn't he? Is he always good like this? Hey? There we are. Oh, that's them all there. Do you see them? Oh, you're a great wee boy altogether. Well, we go up here. There we are now. I think I'll hold on to you for a wee while. There we are. Eh? Oh, isn't it good? Eh? I remember when you were this size. Eh? There we are. We'll give you back to Mum and Dad, will we? That's good. He's done very well, hasn't he? Hey? Eh? Do you want to go back or wait with me? Hey? If you're looking for a babysitter, you know where I am. My rates are quite good. There we are. Well, we put you down there. Is that okay? Hey? There you are. Oh, you've done very well. Hey? There you are. Now, according to Christ's commandment, Jude is baptized into Jesus Christ. We receive and welcome him as a member of Christ's Church. Chris and Emma, your child belongs to God in Christ. From this day, he will be at home in the Christian community, and there will always be a place within it for him. Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach your child the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example to bring him up in the life and worship of the Church? Friends, as members of Christ's body, do you welcome Jude, and do you renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way, and to share with them the knowledge and love of Christ? Let us pray. God of love, on this beautiful morning, we rejoice again to receive your blessing in word and in sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guard and guide Jude all his days. May your love hold him, your truth guide him, your joy delight him. Bless Chris and Emma, that along with Evan, Jude may grow up in a secure and a happy home, a home enriched by faith and sustained by prayer. God of all hope, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us as your people to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name, through that same Jesus Christ our Lord, who unites us as the one people, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Now we've got a Bible and a flower to present to Jude. Would someone like to come out and present the flower and the Bible? Would anyone like to come out? Would you like to come out? Yes, out you come. Is that Charlie there, is it? That's great. Here we are now. This is very good of you. So, that's the Bible, a certificate, and that's the flower. Thank you. And so today, it's a great joy and a privilege to welcome Jude into Christ's family. Visiting children are welcome to go down to the hall during the singing of our next hymn. But it's been a great joy and a privilege to have you here with us on this happy occasion. We're going to sing the hymn 185, 185. Come, children, join and sing. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that Easter is not only about events long ago, but about now. It is not only about others, but about us. It is not only about certain aspects of life, but about life itself. Loving God, as we celebrate your goodness to us, we confess there is much about life as we know it that troubles and confuses us. And many things can happen that are beyond our ability to understand or make sense of. But we know that in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, you shared our humanity. Through him, you experience both the good and the bad in life. And therefore, when we pray to you, we pray to one who understands what it is like to be happy or sad, to experience hope or despair, to endure suffering, and to face even death itself. Lord God, as we praise you for Easter and the transformation of what had seemed the end into a new beginning, we confidently commit to your care all who are in need. Those anxious or afraid, those who are lonely, those who are depressed, those battling addiction of one kind or another, those who are unwell and feeling low as a result of that, those who wonder when or if they will ever be better. We think of those who are older too, those who are bright in spirit but frail in body. What a struggle that can be. And we remember, as always, those who are sad. Father, as Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, may he appear to all who are in our thoughts today. And like the disciples, may they know his peace. Almighty God, in Jesus, you conquered sin and death and turned what had seemed the triumph of hatred into the victory of love. Fill us, your people, with joy in believing. May the wonder of Easter give new meaning and purpose to each day. Strengthen the present and fresh hope for the future. And embracing the life that you graciously offer to us, may we rejoice that nothing can ever separate us from you or your love as it is found in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Saviour. In his name and for his sake, we ask these things. Amen. Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain. Hymn 417, 417.
Thank you.
Isn't it great when we receive good news? It might be that a child has been born, giving great joy to family and friends. It might be news of an engagement or a marriage. It could be that you've passed an exam or been successful in getting a job. It might be that a family member or friend you haven't seen for a long time is going to visit you. Whenever we get good news, the tendency in most of us is to share it with others. We find it hard to keep it to ourselves. And if the news is really good, then we might want to shout it from the rooftops. It's therefore surprising, isn't it, that on the first Easter evening, John tells us that the disciples were together in a room with the doors firmly locked. Why should that have been the case? Mary of Magdala had encountered the risen Lord that very morning and shared the good news with the others. Yet, instead of celebrating with fine wine and a good meal and shouting from the rooftops that Christ was alive again, they hid away in an upstairs room. On reflection, it's perhaps not that surprising. Let's remember what the disciples had gone through. They had witnessed Jesus being tried and sentenced to death. They had, some of them, watched him suffer upon the cross. They had watched his lifeless body be placed in a tomb and sealed with a stone. And despite what they were told by Mary, they were afraid. Afraid that they would suffer a similar fate to Jesus. And can I put it to you, afraid to believe, lest it wasn't true, and their hopes would be dashed once more. Fear is a terrible thing. It is an awful emotion. It can hold us in its grip, and in some instances it takes over our lives and colours our whole outlook. That's how it was for the disciples. And it would take more than a single report that Jesus had risen from the dead to drive away their fear. And therefore they huddled together. They spoke quietly, lest others would hear them. And they waited anxiously for the morning to come. And it was into that situation of fear that Jesus came. And he stood among them. And what did he say? Did he rebuke them for not believing what Mary had told them? Did he chastise them because they had not taken to heart what he had said on many an occasion? That he would be betrayed, that he would suffer, that he would die. But on the third day, he would rise again. They hadn't taken that to heart. And therefore, Jesus would have had every right to say to them, "You've let me down. You didn't listen to what I told you." But he didn't say that at all. Instead, standing before them, he said, "Peace. Peace be with you." You see, he loved them. He cared for them. And he wanted to reassure them. For all their faults and failings, they were his friends. Peace be with you. Throughout his ministry, we read of many instances where Jesus' heart went out to people. When he saw the hungry, he wanted to feed them. When he saw the thirsty, he wanted to give them a drink. When he saw the sick, he wanted to heal them. He didn't need to work at that. That was his default setting. He wanted to help. And praise God, we see this quality in the risen Jesus. Peace be with you. Fear caused the disciples to lock the doors. But this security did not, however, bring them peace. Only Jesus could do that. And the words he used were familiar. They were a conventional Eastern greeting. But he made that greeting his own with his lovely voice, a familiar voice, a voice they knew so well. He speaks these words today. Can you picture him now before you? Looking into your eyes with love and compassion. He knows your hopes, your fears, your joys, and your sorrows. And standing before you, he says, "Peace be with you." Never had that common greeting been so filled with meaning as when Jesus uttered it at Easter. Thomas. Thomas gets a bad press, doesn't he? Despite going on to affirm his faith, he is labelled the doubter. And he's not called that in the Bible. That is what we have called him and those before us. He wasn't with the other disciples that first Easter evening. We don't know where he was. But might it be that he was one of those who had to deal with his grief on his own? He needed to get away somewhere quiet. And he did so. But when he returned And he was told by the others that Jesus had appeared to them, he wouldn't believe it. He said, I need to see his hands, his feet, his side. I recall a book written by Professor Robert Davidson, who taught Old Testament at Glasgow University. He was a very fine and gracious man. And this particular book was entitled The Courage to Doubt. And in the book, Davidson makes the point that in the Old Testament, there are many individuals who, in order to retain their faith in God, were led to rebel against and question what was confidently affirmed about God. Today, within the church, there is a school of thought that doubt should have no part whatsoever in the life of a believer. You either believe entirely or you do not. Well, personally, I can't go along with that. I think that is much too simplistic an approach. Indeed, I put it to you, it is a misguided one. And I say that because of my own experience as a minister and conversations I've been privileged to have with many people over almost 30 years. I have met with people who have no faith, but they want to. I have met with people who have an inkling of faith, but they want to have more. But they find it difficult. And I can understand that. Certain matters do not sit easily or comfortably with them. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do so many die before their time from cancer or motor neuron disease, or heart disease, and the like? Why does God not intervene in the world's affairs and ensure that the hungry are fed and war is no more? Why doesn't he stop now that ghastly war in Ukraine? Jesus would often say to the disciples, when he realized they were struggling, come with me for a while. Let's speak together. And they were able to ask their questions and express their doubts. It was a relaxed, respectful environment. And through it, they were helped, and they grew in their faith. It is my personal belief that the church has failed in large measure to give people the opportunity to ask their questions and to express their doubts. Following the risen Lord cannot be about ticking boxes or reciting a creed which, if the truth be told, some do in parrot fashion. They know them so well, the different creeds, but they don't understand a word of them. God has given us minds to think. I believe he wants us to grapple with the big issues and to ask the questions, not least the question why. And it is important that people, including those within the church, are able to do so, even if there are no answers, and to express their doubts without being judged or condemned as lacking in faith. You know, sometimes all people need is that opportunity to ask the question. And even if we cannot answer it, and often we cannot, just being able to ask the question can help. I remember when I began my studies for the ministry, there were some candidates who openly said they would not allow their faith to be challenged by what they heard in the lecture theatres. I thought that was unfortunate. Surely it's good to be challenged. It's healthy to hear opinions that differ from our own. It's important that we benefit from scholarship. Far from weakening one's faith, that for me is one way in which we can actually grow in our faith. We wrestle with our questions and our doubts, and often we come to have a better understanding of God and of ourselves. Jude, it's a lovely name. Jude was a follower of Jesus, an apostle. And he wrote a very short book, the second last in the New Testament. And I've got to admit, it's a long time since I'd read it. But I read it early this morning. And believe it or not, I came across these words. Be merciful to those who doubt. Isn't it amazing how God's word speaks to us in season and out of season? When I was thinking about this subject, there it is in God's word. Be merciful to those who doubt. Thomas was honest and upfront. I like him. He refused to say that he understood what he did not understand. He refused to say that he believed what he did not believe. He was a straightforward, pragmatic individual, a good man. There was an uncompromising honesty about him that I like. Thomas had to be sure. And I find no fault in him for that. Tennyson wrote, there lives more faith in honest doubt than in half the creeds. We are told that a week later, after Easter, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, and this time Thomas was there. Did Jesus rebuke Thomas for doubting? Did he? Did he chide him for not believing what the others told him? No, he didn't. So why should we? Instead, Jesus again graciously spoke These words that have power to this very day. Thomas, peace. Peace be with you. And what are we told? There and then, Thomas made a great acclamation of faith. My Lord and my God. He doubted no more. But his doubting had led him to become sure. And therefore, when he made his acclamation, he made it with all his heart. And he went on to be a wonderful ambassador for Christ. Peace. Peace be with you. What a wonderful Saviour we have, even when we are hesitant, even when we have our doubts, our questions, and are slow of heart to believe, our Lord does not condemn us or rebuke us. Instead, he bids us peace. He reassures us that he loves us and we have no need to be afraid. And patiently he awaits that moment when, with Thomas, we can say, my Lord and my God. I would like to close with a doxology that we find at the end of the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. And the people of God shall say, Amen. Our closing hymn, one of my own personal favourites, hymn 459, 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Thank you.
Peace be with you, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.